It's about 15 seconds after the hour. Today is Tuesday, the 29th of November. I'm Ben Brown. This is a Juno Afternoon. And today we're going to be talking to Natalie Watson with some information about Girls on the Run. We're going to preview some of the art openings for this year's December Gallery Walk coming up on Friday. And Christine Bartlett will be here with details about Soups On, a community open forum with the Superintendent of Schools. And that's, of course, in addition to Bird Note and Writer's Radio Almanac, and of course, National Native News coming up next. So stay tuned for a Juno Afternoon.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Representatives of Native groups, tribes, and camps respond to the emergency evacuation order issued by North Dakota Governor Jack Dalrymple for people camped near the Cannonball River, opposing the Dakota Access Pipeline. Monday's mandatory evacuation points to harsh winter conditions and safety concerns. Native leaders say the area is treaty territory where the state has no jurisdiction and say there are no plans for people to leave. In a press conference Monday, the representatives criticized the governor's move, pointing to what they say is the state's lack of concern for people in the area after recent police tactics used on those opposing the pipeline. Medical professionals, including volunteers, have reported hundreds of injuries from law enforcement's use of water hoses, rubber bullets, and other non-lethal weapons. Phyllis Young, representing the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, says the tribe has hired a former federal investigator to pursue charges against North Dakota officials, which include human rights violations. Young adds the tribe plans to bring in a disaster relief group to help address health and safety concerns.
We are prepared. We have lived for generations in this kind of setting. We have survived. No one has to make the human gestures of great concern that you have over the lives of our people. We live there. That is our camp. We will provide for our own people there.
The governor orders people to leave the area immediately and not to return. The order also cuts off emergency services in winter conditions. Camp representatives estimate there are more than 7,000 people there and add it's ridiculous to evacuate in a blizzard, especially if road conditions are bad. The recent election saw the addition of two new Native Americans to the Minnesota State Legislature. Four Native women, all Democrats, now hold office in the state. Allison Herrera reports the new members aim to bring a new perspective to state politics.
Mary Kanesh Padin, a member of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, had a personal reason to run for office. She recalls her time as a single mother, working two jobs and having a difficult time making ends meet. She says if it weren't for assistance from the state of Minnesota, she would have lost her house. She says now she has the resources to give back to her people and the community.
To make sure that those safety nets are there for families to succeed and prosper and to create really strong communities.
Padin is now part of the growing caucus of Native women in the Minnesota House of Representatives. She'll be joining Jamie Becker Finn, a member of the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe, who just won election representing the Twin Cities suburb of Roseville. Finn is an assistant county attorney working with the Domestic Abuse Service Center.
You know, I don't think I'd go so far as to say that we have, you know, there's a Native agenda, but I think that there's a sensibility that there's now kind of a space for in our culture. So I think, you know, those things do mean something and I think are a good indication of at least where Minnesota's headed.
Finn was politically active in college and served on her city's Parks and Recreation Commission. She remembers speaking up on issues that others wouldn't, like when some of her neighbors and community members dressed up as Native Americans for Halloween. Both women acknowledge they've got their work cut out for them. They're Democrats in a state that now has a House and Senate under Republican control. They say they are committed to working across party lines to help Native communities. Susan Allen, who is Lakota, Dakota, and Anishinaabe, is Minnesota's longest-serving Native American elected representative. She won re-election from the Minneapolis neighborhoods with large Native populations. Peggy Flanagan, a member of the White Earth Nation of Ojibwe, won a second term for her suburban Twin Cities seat. For National Native News, I'm Allison Herrera.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support by Northern Arizona University, a university committed to serving Native American students, offering opportunity in every direction, in Flagstaff, at community colleges around the state, and online. Learn more at nau.edu. Support by Chickasaw Press, presenting Mission to Space, Chickasaw astronaut John Harrington's story of making his youthful dreams of going to space a reality. Holiday delivery of this children's book available on orders placed at ChickasawPress.com by December 21st. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
My name is Ramblin' Jack Pachelbel. I was born in Germany, somewhere not far from Stuttgart, in 1653. And whenever I try to find the words to express what I'm feeling at the time, and then to have to make them rhyme, well, I might as well sing dee 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 dee. It says it all, at least it does to me. Dee 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 dee.
It is about, gosh, already 10 minutes after the hour. Where does the time go? Today is Tuesday, the 29th of November. I'm Ben Brown. This is a Juno afternoon. That was John Palms. from his album Born to Be a Butterfly, and the song was called The Ballad of Ramblin' Jack Pachelbel, with, I guess, apologies to Pachelbel and his family, and everyone in Germany probably too. But John Palms is going to be performing with the Gold Street Music Concert this weekend, along with Laura and Abigail Zahasky, James Pothier, Pat Henry, and Mark Hurd at Resurrection Lutheran Church. And for more information, you can give me a call here at 586-1212, and I could give you the contact numbers. Oh, but that's going to be this Saturday, the 3rd of December at 7:30 p.m. with a suggested $5 donation at the door. So, a Juno afternoon this Tuesday, and our first guest is Rachel Wentz, who's here to talk to us about Girls on the Run, and boys are running now, too. Isn't that right, Rachel?
Yes, they are.
We've opened up equal access since the last time I had someone from Girls on the Run on the air. So, welcome to a Juno afternoon.
Thank you.
And tell us and our listeners what's going on.
Well, this Saturday, we are having the Girls on the Run and Boys Run Itu'u Klatsin 5K events, and it's going to be so much fun. These two programs are for kiddos in 3rd through 5th grade, and we've had 5 schools participating throughout the semester. So these programs are 10-week programs where the kids will meet twice a week after school and talk about topics that range all the way from identifying their values to giving back to the community while they're playing running games. And throughout the whole season, they're working up to this 5K, which is going to be this Saturday.
Oh, well, that's quite exciting. And, of course, it'll be interesting to see what the weather's like for a 5K this Saturday. But I remember when I had one of the representatives from Girls on the Run on earlier this year, we discussed how that was kind of the goal, was building up to this 5K. And I may have even said, what an interesting time of year to have your scheduled run take place. But I think the rain may have abated, and it's supposed to get quite cold, actually, early next week. So.
Well, and lucky for us, we're having the 5K inside, So we don't have to deal with the rain.
And so it's going to be laps.
Yeah, we're running at the Diamond Park Fieldhouse, and we get to do 27 laps around the track, which sounds very daunting, but we make lots of fun. So we've got a fun theme for the event. It's You Rock, and the kids are encouraged to dress as their favorite musical star.
Excellent. So how many participants are there in the Girls on the Run and the Associated Boys Running program now?
We have about just over 60 girls and about 25 boys in the program.
Excellent. And they are self-selected. Some of their parents, or they may have heard about it on the air here, but they decide they want to sign up. And then it's just a commitment that's gone for several months now.
Yeah, the registration is open to all girls or boys in 3rd through 5th grade, and they can sign up. There's a registration fee, but we're happy to provide scholarships to students to participate in the program.
Excellent. And so where can people who are listening now, because this is kind of the culmination of this iteration, what is the future going to be and where can people learn more? So kind of a two-part question there. What's the future going to be first?
The future.
Yes, tell me
Girls
all about the future,
Run,
Rachel.
Boys Run. Well, we're really excited to have another season next mid-February through mid-May. So if people are interested in volunteering then, they're welcome to get a hold of us. We have adults who are act as mentors for the kids, and we call them coaches. But really, coaches don't have to be runners. They just have to be like dedicated to inspiring kids to be their wonderful, amazing selves. And that's what we're looking for this Saturday as well. So we have lots of fun things lined up for the kids. We'll start with a celebration where they get their faces painted and their hair spray painted and do crafts and games and take photos at a fun photo booth. And we need some help to get that to happen. So we'd love to have some volunteers help with Girls on the Run, which is starting at 10 a.m., or with the Boys Run, which is starting at 1 p.m. We especially need some more volunteers for our Boys Run program around 1 o'clock. And if people are interested in volunteering, they can contact Natalie at AWARE. Her contact info is NatalieW@awareak.org, or they can call us at 586-4902.
And is there a website with some information about the program as well?
There sure is. You can visit gotrgreateralaska.org.
Excellent. So where else in Alaska is Girls on the Run and Boys Running taking place?
Yeah, you know what? Girls on the Run has just absolutely exploded in the state. We started Girls on the Run in Juneau in 2008 and expanded it the year afterward to Sitka and Ketchikan. And about 2 years ago, the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, which sponsors a lot of our programming, asked us to expand the program across the state of Alaska. So we now have Girls on the Run in Barrow, Fairbanks, Cordova, Homer, Unalaska, Juneau, Sitka, Ketchikan, Prince of Wales, and Wrangell.
Wow, that is a really impressive array of communities. And in such a short amount of time to expand and have that geographical breadth is wonderful.
Exactly, yeah. And we've really been able to do it with the support of domestic violence agencies around the state. We use Girls on the Run and Boys Run as violence prevention programs. So these programs are building up what we call protective factors that make kids less likely to experience violence in their lifetimes. So really those partnerships with domestic violence agencies has made us has given us the ability to expand the program. And I know I've talked a lot about the expansion of Girls on the Run, but Boys Run has really come out of having Girls on the Run. So we've had Girls on the Run for 8 years now, and people were asking, well, what do you have for boys? And we didn't have anything, and we looked around for programs and really couldn't find anything that had those like those great nuggets in it like Girls on the Run does. So we, in partnership with Sickens Against Family Violence, developed this curriculum called Boys Run Itugu Klatsin for boys in third through fifth grade to do some great things for them, like teaching them about positive living, community building, teamwork, fairness, how to talk about feelings and what to do with them.
Well, that is really a very good preventative outreach effort. And the prior gubernatorial administration, part of the Choose Respect campaign was there was an element where basketball coaches would work with the charges on their teams to inculcate a culture of respect for women, for each other, for everyone, nonviolence.
Exactly.
And so this is, but that of course was those who self-selected and wanted to play basketball. This is getting probably a broader potential population of young men who may not be involved in organized sporting activities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the great thing about these programs is that you don't have to be a runner to do them. And we make it really fun. So they're playing these games that involve running, but they might not even realize that they are running while they're doing them. They're just fun ways to get together, learn about themselves, learn about others, and give back to the community at the same time.
Well, that is very, very inspiring. As an attorney who's volunteered for the Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assaults pro bono program, I know that there's never going to be enough attorneys out there to help all the victims of domestic violence. The only way the problem is really ever going to ultimately be solved is if we prevent it from happening in the first place. So this, both for the boys and the young women who are involved, it just sounds like a perfect way to move towards that very noble goal.
Yeah.
Well, Rachel, is there any other specific information you'd like to share with our listeners? Again, you need volunteers for this weekend for both the runs that are taking place. So this isn't just a, oh, I'll think about it, maybe I'll sign up in, you know, in the spring. You have an acute need right now. So once again, describe what you need for the weekend, what the time involvement would be, and how those who might be interested in helping could contact you.
Yeah, if you're interested in getting involved with the programs, maybe just dip your toes in this Saturday, see what it's all about. Contact Natalie. Her info is nataliew@awareak.org. And for Girls on the Run, the volunteer timing is about 9:30 a.m. to 10:45 a.m. this Saturday. And for Boys Run, it's about 12:30 p.m. to 1:45 p.m. So about an hour and a half. Girls on the Run 5K is 10 a.m. this Saturday. The Boys Run 5K is at 1 p.m. We hope to see you there.
And if you're just signing on now, this is going to be inside at the Diamond Park Fieldhouse. What about in Barrow? Where are they doing their run in Barrow? Do you know?
We'll find out.
All right, because I was just going to say, if anyone wanted to complain about how cold or what it was here, there are, or in Unalaska, we can only imagine what character-building weather circumstances are there for the young people and the chaperones out there.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much, Rachel Wentz. Girls on the Run, Boys Running, two wonderful programs. And I hope everything goes super well this weekend. And we'll look forward to talking to you in the spring about the next iteration of the program.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I love It's a Wonderful Life. I love it so much, I want to do it all for you myself. Ready?
You want the moon, Mary? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it.
George Bailey, lasso stork.
You're worth more dead than alive.
Pottersville.
You see, George, you really had a wonderful life.
Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls!
Bring the whole family to This Wonderful Life at Perseverance Theater, December 9th to the 31st. Tickets, special dates, and pricing at ptalaska.org, the Jack, or 463-TIXS.
When I was just a little bitty inchworm, I was taught that someday we'd all grow up and fly away. A complete metamorphosis, that's what they called it. We all would change our caterpillar ways. Born to be a butterfly, I was taught that I was born to be a butterfly. I thought everybody was born to be a butterfly.
a living jewel on nature's clock.
Born to be a butterfly. Born to be a butterfly.
Born to be a butterfly. But I turned out to be a moth. I popped out of my cocoon, pumped up my wings. Let me tell you that it's a chore to get out of one of those things. Imagine my surprise when I opened up my compound eyes, and this is what I saw. I had a fuzzy, stubby little body, fuzzy, stubby little legs, feathery antennas, and eye spots on my wings. Born to be a butterfly, or at least that's what I thought.
Born to be a butterfly,
born to be a butterfly. Born to be a butterfly, but I turned out to be a moth.
Born to be a butterfly.
Photographer, born and raised in Juneau, Alaska. He has spent the last 5 years exploring off-trail, looking for hidden history, the man-made and the natural. Please welcome Brian.
Thanks. I would have had a longer introduction, but the skeletons in the closet theme went well with my work schedule this week. I'm working the grave shift. So, had to write my own introduction, kept it pretty short just because I think I wrote it in the half hour I was awake this week. So, I'm going to be looking at my paper a little more than I usually do just because I'm going to work right after this. So, my story starts about a month ago. We were headed up to Gastineau Peak. There were six of us, and we went to explore this mine called the Groundhog Mine. Right next to it is another mine called Lurvy Creek. They're two small mines most people have never heard of. They're on a ridge on the backside of Gastineau Peak that most people don't go to, because once you head down to that ridge, there's really no way off it. So we decided to cheat that day, and we got some free tickets from my friend Greg, and we shot up the tram to cut off 1,200 feet, even though we're the hardcore group. So we get to the top of Gastineau Peak, and during that time, we're taking photos of each other. We're posting on Facebook as we're climbing. And halfway up, somebody makes a comment on our Facebook page, "Why don't you guys go live?" And I was like, "Facebook live? What's that?" And sure enough, I scroll down in my Facebook, and there's a button that says live. So we hit the live button, and lo and behold, people start popping into our live feed, and they're commenting as we're hiking up this mountain. So we're looking down one way, and I'm like, there's a drop-off right here, and there's a drop-off right there. And I'm moving my phone back and forth as I'm showing people this hillside. Well, My friend Jeff and I were the fastest ones in the group, and we got to the ridge before everybody else and started heading down to the mine site. And I always get really excited when we get to new mine sites. When I see old buildings and man-made objects, immediately I speed up. I start talking faster. I start pointing things out. I'm basically a mile ahead of the group. Well, luckily, my friend Jeff was fast enough to keep up with me. And lo and behold, as we come down this ridge, there's people working at this mine site. And I'm like, who would be working this mine site? We get to this ditch, and it's 8 feet deep. And there's a man in his 40s digging in this ditch with a 12-year-old boy. And they're clearing the ditch so water will flow faster. And Jeff's standing next to me, and he's looking down in the ditch, and he says, what kind of shovel is that? And the man looks up at me and says something in German. And I kind of look at Jeff, and Jeff looks back at me, and I say, oh, it's a gooseneck shovel. Probably 100 years old. And so Jeff, I've never seen one like that before. And so I kind of nod to the two digging in the ditch because obviously they don't speak English. The boy never looked up at me. And we continued off towards the mine site. As we get to where we're looking out over this mine site, you can see a rock wall. And there's a man stacking rocks near this rock wall, kind of building a little reservoir. Over by some cabin ruins, there's a man sitting there smoking a pipe. And I'm like, this place is supposed to be abandoned. You know, we're in the middle of nowhere. Well, and I hear two people arguing. But I can't tell where they are, so we work our way closer to this mine. And I pull out my camera and tripod, and I'm like, I'm going to get pictures of this. Well, Jeff's exploring a little higher on the hillside, and I set up the tripod and the camera, and I take a picture of this guy stacking rocks, making this little reservoir for these sluice boxes that they're getting ready to use. And I take a few pictures of him, and he just kind of looks at me, and I said, you know, how long have you been doing this? And he goes, well, I've been working on this wall now for 2 days. And that's when I realized he wasn't wearing gloves. You know, his hands were all cut and tore, and it was cold out. He was stacking these rocks, like, yay big. And the wall was about 4 feet high, 100 feet long. I was like, man, that's hard work. So I took a few pictures of him and continued on towards the mine site and started walking past one of the mine adits that were in the area, a mine tunnel. And I looked in, and there's about shin-deep water in there, and there's two guys, and they're arguing over how much gold is in this vein in this mine tunnel. And these two guys are just bickering back and forth, and they're holding this little small white candle as they're pointing at this vein. And one of them goes to point aggressively at the other man, and he drops the candle. And it goes sploop in the water. Well, of course, they start arguing louder because now they can barely see. The tunnel itself isn't very long, so they can kind of see down it. And, you know, Jeff kind of looks at me, and I'm like, hey, there's a tunnel right here. And he's like, that's really cool, but did you see this eye bolt up here? And I was like, oh, that's part of an aerial tramway. And Jeff was in the way of this guy who was pounding that eye bolt into the cliff. And, you know, Jeff kind of looked at me and then headed off down the hill. The guy pounding in the eye bolt kind of shrugged at me and continued pounding in the eye bolt. I rounded the corner, and there's this old man sitting there smoking a pipe. And he's looking out over Silver Bow Basin, and he's got this hat sitting next to him on a rock. And the hat, it's made of felt or leather. It was a soft material. And I sat down next to him and said, nice hat. And he nodded to me and took a couple puffs on his pipe. And he said, winter's coming. And he said, freeze up will be here soon. And I said, are you coming back next year? And he goes, oh, yeah, there's still plenty of gold in these hills. Well, my friend Jeff came up behind me and sat down to the left of me. And he said, who are you talking to?
Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 29th of November, 2016. It was on this date in 1947 the United Nations voted for the partition of Palestine, which had been under British control since 1917. Zionist Jews from Europe and Russia were migrating in ever greater numbers. There was hostility between them and native Palestinians, which was growing. Britain wanted to get out of Palestine. And so the UN drafted a plan dividing the region into three Jewish sections and four Arab sections, the city of Jerusalem, to be administered internationally. The plan guaranteed religious rights, minority rights, provision for free access to any holy sites, said the two states would share a monetary system and all services have equal access to water and utilities. The Jewish Agency in Palestine approved of the plan. The UN General Assembly voted in favor. The six Arab delegates walked out in protest. 6 months later, 1948, May 14, the Jewish Agency Chairman David Ben-Gurion formally announced the formation of the State of Israel. The next day, forces from Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq invaded. It's the birthday of the novelist and poet C.S. Lewis, best known for his Chronicles of Narnia series, born in Belfast, Ireland, 1898. His mother died when he was young. He spent much of his time at boarding school growing up. He wrote, "I am the product of long corridors, empty sunlit rooms, upstairs, indoor silences, attics explored in solitude, distant noises of pipes and cisterns, the noise of wind under the tiles." He was an infantryman in World War I, became a scholar of classics at Oxford, where he became a close friend of J.R.R. Tolkien. It's the birthday of the writer Madeleine L'Engle, born New York City, 1918, who took her family on a 10-week cross-country camping trip where she got the idea for a novel about a girl who travels with her brother through space and time to find their father, a physicist who is researching the space-time continuum. She called it A Wrinkle in Time. It was rejected by 26 publishers before it came out in 1962 and became an enormous bestseller. Here's a poem for today by Marjorie Sazer. She tells her child of the assassination. "In November of 1963, you were all the center of my days. And when I heard on TV Kennedy had been shot, I wrapped you in your blue blanket and walked for miles. I was strong then, carrying you on sidewalks in the middle of a country stunned by rapid-fire bulletins. It was pink Chanel suit, brain matter, film loop, Walter Cronkite. But I had your sweet-smelling head close to my lips, and I walked 40th Street. The leaves broke and scattered under my feet. I passed the blank faces of doors and windows, the news spreading dark over the lawns." Upon Marjorie Sazer, she tells her child of the assassination from I Have Nothing to Say About Fire, published by the Backwaters Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Association of Writers and Writing Programs, bringing their annual conference to Washington, D.C. this February. More at awpwriter.org. And by wordpress.com, where millions go to share their passions on personal and professional blogs, now offering custom .blog domain names, wordpress.com. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And it's about 35 minutes after the hour. Before Writer's Almanac. We heard a little snippet with Brian Weed, and before that, another piece from John Palms' disc, Born to Be a Butterfly, the title track, Born to Be a Butterfly. And again, John Palms is going to be performing with the Gold Street Music Concert. That's this Saturday, the 3rd of December, at Resurrection Lutheran Church, and that will be at 7:30 p.m., and so if you're interested in going to that concert, you just need to show up at a little before 7:30 p.m. at Resurrection Lutheran Church on Saturday night with a $5 donation, and you're good to go. So our next guest today, this 29th of November on a Juneau afternoon, is Kristen Bartlett, Chief of Staff for the Juneau School District, and she's here to talk about Soups On.
Yes, I am. Thank you. Nice to be here this afternoon.
Yes, I'm delighted to have you here. So we were talking a little bit before we went on the air that this is basically putting your boss on the hot seat.
That it is.
All right.
The soup is, in this case, Superintendent Mark Miller, and we are putting him on the hot seat to answer any and all questions of the Juneau community. So really what this is an open forum for students, parents, community members. It's something that we try to do at least once a semester, and it just gives people an opportunity in an informal environment to ask, comment, suggest anything that's on their mind. So, you know, we have regular school board meetings, and those are a little bit more of a formal environment when people have to testify and stuff, and this is really a chance for casual conversation about whatever's happening.
And that, I guess, takes care of the what and the why.
Yeah.
When and where?
It is next Tuesday, December 6th, and it will be taking place in the Juneau Douglas High School Library. Starts at 6, ends at 7, and so it's a good chance to come in and talk about whatever you want to talk about. Some of the hot topics of the day here are we're getting ready to look at next year's school calendar, which is always of interest to families. Interesting bit of information about that is the draft proposal has school starting on August 16th next year.
Oh, so that is ridiculously early.
That might be of interest to people.
Now, is it going to be ending a lot earlier in December as a result? Is there a silver lining to that calendar?
Part of the situation of when school starts earlier, then the first semester ends before Christmas, which for many students doesn't matter, but high school students prefer that.
Yeah, and of course, anyone who wants to travel anywhere, not being done with the first term is kind of annoying.
Right.
And just having that brief little couple-day Christmas holiday. So
right,
that's
right.
Understood. I went to Palmer High School, and we used to start early. Actually, we used to start later, and they always said it was because we were an agricultural community. But, I mean, I really didn't know any of my friends who were out there, like, on a caterpillar, you know, bringing in the hay. But it had that consequence that you certainly ended the fall term a lot later.
Yes, we have strong traditions in the public school system. So, yeah. We're also trying out some consolidation of high school activities in the district. And so if people have questions or comments about that, those are welcome. The school district will be entertaining the idea of having some early release days next year. So parents might want to have some information about that. We're certainly starting the budget process. And looking outside today, we're reminded that winter weather procedures are now in effect. So if anyone has any information about, you know, problems in their area or dangerous bus stops or things like that, that's always good to share. And speaking of the budget, we do now have some upcoming meetings about budget preparation. We are started planning the budget for next year already, and that process starts tonight, actually, at Thunder Mountain High School in the auditorium, and that is at 6 o'clock. We'll be doing budget overviews tonight and tomorrow. Tonight will be the district as a whole and district-level programs, and tomorrow we'll be looking at elementary, middle, and high school programming.
And will the school board members be in attendance for the meetings tonight and tomorrow evening?
Yes.
All right.
School board members, site council members and students and any interested community members.
And now,
at 6 o'clock tonight, 6 o'clock tomorrow, Thunder Mountain High School Auditorium. The Soups On is next Tuesday, December 6th at 6 o'clock in the JDHS Library.
And at that meeting next week, it'll really just be you there with the superintendent, but there might be some school board members in attendance, but
sure,
they won't be on the hot seat per se.
They won't be, but they'll be there to answer questions, and also a lot of the directors and program managers will be there too.
Okay, so that's next Tuesday, 6 to 7. The neat thing about that event next Tuesday is you don't have to check in at the front office when you get to the school
ID required.
That's right, and you can also talk in the library. You're encouraged to talk in the library.
You are, yes. And loudly.
And loudly. Make your voice heard loud.
Yep.
Well, good. So it's good to know that the Juneau School District, through you, the chief of staff, is making these additional efforts of outreach to the communities so that parents and other interested community members are really well informed about what's going on. These are times of change, generally speaking, but certainly specifically at the school district level. And this is a really good opportunity for people to know what possible changes may be happening driven by budgetary concerns so that they're not surprised a year from now that, oh, my God, school's starting on the 16th of August, or there's no wrestling at my kid's school, he has to go to the other school, or anything like that.
Exactly. And to understand why and what the benefits of those things are, because generally, there's a long story and a lot of debate behind all of these decisions, and sometimes it's helpful to understand how we came about with these ideas.
That's right. And of course,
who thought of this?
And the chance to change the decision. You know,
exactly.
If enough parents chime in and say, we don't think this is a good idea for these specific reasons, there's really a very good chance that something will be modified and there'll be a different outcome.
Right.
Good.
Right.
Well, very good, Kristen Bartlett, Chief of Staff for the Juneau School District. Thank you so much for coming on a Juneau Afternoon. If parents are interested in going to someplace online where they can learn more about these meetings or things generally, where would that be on the school district's website?
That would be the school district website, and that is www.junoschools.org. And the way that it's set up, it kind of works like Pinterest. So just keep scrolling down, and you'll find what you need eventually.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you so very much, Kristen Bartlett, for being here. And I hope you have a lot of people show up at these meetings tonight, tomorrow, and next week.
Thank you very much. And I just do want to add, too, that the Juneau School District and the students and staff really appreciate the partnership of KTOO Public Radio in helping to inform our community and educate people about what's going on in our schools.
Well, thank you very much. It's a privilege and honor for all of us here at KTOO, KRNN, and KXLL to be involved with all members of the community and especially the young folks who are learning through our school district.
Thanks so much.
Yep.
Thanksgiving and Christmas time were the hardest times of all. To be alone with this hungry feeling in my heart. Somehow I'd lost your love, my home, and my best friend. You don't know how I miss your cooking. I guess it beats tonight again. Don't know how I missed your cooking. I guess it's beans tonight again. You don't know how I missed your loving. I guess it's dreams tonight again. You don't know how long I've been smiling from the outside in. You don't know how I missed your cooking. I guess it's beans tonight again. I never wanted to prove that I could make it on my own. But now I'm riding off into the setting sun alone. Our happy little plan had come abruptly to an end. Don't know how I missed your cooking. I guess it's beans tonight again. You don't know how I missed your cooking. I guess it's beans tonight again. You don't know how I missed your loving. I guess it's dreams tonight again. You don't know how long I've been smiling from the outside in. You don't know how I miss your cooking. I guess it's beans tonight again.
Substitutes can't fill the empty spaces. And why that is, I'll never understand. If something from the oven says loving, what does it say if it comes from a can? You don't know how I miss your cooking. I guess it's beans tonight again. You don't know how I miss your loving. I guess it's dreams tonight again. You don't know how long I've been smiling from the outside in. You don't know how I miss your cooking. I guess it's beans tonight again. You don't know how I miss your cooking. I guess it's beans tonight again.
And that was another track from Born to Be a Butterfly, John Palms' disc. He's one of the performers that will be at the Gold Street Music Concert this Saturday evening, the 3rd of December, at Resurrection Lutheran Church, starting at 7:30 p.m., accompanied by Mark Hurd, or joined, I should say, by Mark Hurd, Pat Henry, James Pothier, and Laura and Abigail Zahasky. So if you're interested in that concert, that's coming up this weekend. A few more pieces of information in the nature of public service announcements. This Friday, the 2nd of December, is December Gallery Walk. And in celebration of that season, parking downtown will not be enforced, and so after 3 p.m. this Friday, the 2nd of December, free on-street parking will not be limited to 2 hours, and it will also be offered at the Shoppers Lot, the North Franklin Lot, the Downtown Transportation Center Garage, and the Marine Parking Garage. So it's just a park-a-palooza for Gallery Walk this coming Friday. Today, at 5:30 p.m. in the Assembly Chambers at City Hall, is the next iteration of the panel discussion on renewable heating alternatives. This is part of a series of forums that started in the summer and go through the fall on energy topics as part of the City and Borough of Juneau's consideration of a draft energy plan. So if you want to learn more about a large and small-scale ground and air source heat pumps, wood pellet systems, and other renewable energy alternatives to existing heating systems, that's at 5:30 today in the Assembly Chambers. The Docks and Harbors Department is encouraging boat owners to check their vessels during stormy weather. Tonight, strong winds are expected, and tomorrow, I think they're going to continue, and so it's a great time to make sure that lines are secure, pumps are operating correctly, and your boat is not collecting rainwater. And, of course, it's going to start snowing again soon, and then the accumulation of snow is yet another concern of a boat owner to make sure that nothing bad is happening as snow accumulates. Out in Montana Creek, the Montana Creek Road beyond the rifle range is going to be closed effective today, and it will reopen on the 1st of May when conditions allow. So there will not be winter maintenance beyond the rifle range. And there's a new parking lot at the rifle range expanded to accommodate increased use of the road by cross-country skiers and others who want to go out there and enjoy the road in its non-maintained state through the winter months. And then one more thing you should be aware of is next Tuesday, the 6th of December, the governor's office will be holding the open house at the governor's house, and therefore Indian Street between 7th and 8th Streets will be closed to vehicular traffic, and motorists are advised to use caution in the area due to increased pedestrian traffic. The event will conclude at approximately 6. So that's about 3 to 6 next Tuesday, the 6th of December. And, of course, if you're going to go to the governor's open house, you probably want to park somewhere else and walk up there. So with that, we've got about 10 and a half minutes before the hour here on a Juneau afternoon.
This is Bird Note. This wild sound, some liken it to the baying of hounds, pours from the sky each autumn along all four North American flyways. Millions of snow geese are returning from their Arctic breeding grounds, thousands of geese in any one flock. Snow geese fly high, a cloud of snowflakes against the blue. periodically stopping over en masse at staging points across the continent. They're bound for traditional wintering areas along the South Atlantic and Gulf coasts, and in the western states and Mexico. Imagine a visit to one of their wintering sites, whether it be the rice fields of southern Louisiana, the Skagit River Delta in Washington State, or New Mexico's Bosque del Apache Preserve. As we look across a broad expanse of browns and greens, a pattern of dark soil interspersed with planted fields, our eyes come to rest on one field that appears snow-covered. A closer look reveals 10,000 or more white-feathered snow geese, covering the field in one immense flock. And listen, too, when a bald eagle flies over and the multitudes take flight in a spectacular avian blizzard, their joined voices all but deafening. There's a link to an amazing video on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein.
Do you or someone you care for live with chronic pain or a chronic disease like high blood pressure, diabetes, or heart disease? You can learn to manage the symptoms, understand the disease, and communicate more easily with providers. Find a list of Living Well classes offered around the state at livingwell.alaska.gov. This message sponsored by the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services and the American Diabetes Association, aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
Thank you. We hold these truths to be self-evident.
Instructions to all persons of Japanese ancestry.
That all men are created equal.
Both alien and non-alien.
Endowed with certain unalienable rights.
Will be evacuated from the following areas by 12 noon.
Dad first said it to me. The nail that sticks out is the one that gets hit. Hold These Truths by Jeannie Sakata is the story of Gordon Hirabayashi and his 60-year fight to stand up to power and discrimination. See it at Perseverance Theater, November 17th through December 4th. Tickets at the Jack, Heartside Books, ptalaska.org, and 463-TIXS.
About a minute and a half before the hour, and this has been a Juno Afternoon this Tuesday, the 29th of November. Thanks so much for listening. This is Voces 8, Winter, a four-part choral disc. The first piece we listened to was Es ist ein Ross entsprungen, and this is The Snow That Melts the Stillness. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll be back next week for a Juno Afternoon.
This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas. We also rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K210AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoonah, and K210AM.